It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Good morning. Scott Luden here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Today we are talking all about the upcoming EFT 3PL and Supply Chain Summit coming here to Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th, 2019, just a month and a week or so out. We've got two outstanding guests today, and we're teed up for a very interesting conversation. Hey, friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and, of course, our great friends over at Business Radio X. As always, love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. So let's welcome today's featured guest, Asif Naqvi, Head of Partnerships at EFT Supply Chain and Logistics Intelligence. Good morning, Asif.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us. And we also have your colleague, Nick Stilianu, Project Director at EFT Supply Chain and Logistics Intelligence. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Good afternoon from London.
That's right. Well, thank you. I'm sure it's an incredibly busy time for the EFT team right now. We've already gotten an update, and of course, we'll hear more from Asif and Nick, but attendance and participation and engagement of the 3PL and Supply Chain Summit right here in Atlanta is ahead of pace. There's an enormous amount of interest in what's going to be a great event right here in the Supply Chain City. So pleased to spend a few minutes here with Asif and Nick to learn more about the event and about the organization. So, gentlemen, we're going to dive right in.
Great. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. So, Asif, let's start with you. Let's talk about, you know, we've seen so much change and an ever increasing rapidly rate of change in the end-to-end supply chain space, including the logistics aspect of that. How have the last 18 months shaped your understanding of the logistics industry?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think what we recognize, or what I recognize, is that I came from a previous market, which was automotive, and automotive was, you know, a traditional, old school, quite manual mechanical engineering market. And over the last 10 years or so, through the likes of OnStar and a lot of the infotainment gadgets that we see in cars now, that whole industry has become overtaken by IT, integration of IT at every element and every aspect. What I'm seeing is in the supply chain space, it has very humble beginnings, like automotive to some extent. And I'm seeing a very similar technology wave, if you like, sort of go through our industry at every element. We see these logistics service providers, like the automotive community previously, reinvent themselves as technology companies. Only a few years ago, you saw Ford, you know, which you would associate, you know, your F-150, a typical Ford product. And now they're buying up startups left, right, and center. Their CEO is wearing jeans and looking pretty slick. We're seeing a very similar thing with the likes of DHL and XPO go through a huge acquisition trail to some extent. So I see very similar parallels. It just feels like I'm leading another life again, which is nice.
Well, after being in automotive, you probably this is like a easier project to tackle here in this second life, right?
Well, to some extent, I feel like a lot of the lessons that have gone through automotive, you know, a similar industry can learn from quicker, which means we can get to these solutions a lot faster and meet that sense of customer demand. As opposed to go through some of the trials and tribulations that automotive went through.
Interesting. Fantastic. So, Nick, let's bring you back in, and anything you'd like to add to what Asif has shared?
Yeah, so in terms of obviously, you know, one of the topics that we cover a lot here at EFT is the challenge around talent, something that I know that you're strongly involved with as well, is and we've seen a lot of digitally native executives entering the logistics market. With the influx of technology, I think this market is ripe for digital innovation. I think a lot of executives have seen the potential for this market. So we've seen a lot of that from our perspective, and I think it's a very exciting time for the industry.
Absolutely. The two T's, technology and talent, are certainly creating a ripple effect throughout the end-to-end supply chain space. So speaking of EFT, Asif, tell us more about EFT and what the organization does.
So that's a really, really good question. EFT, we've been around about 20 years. So we started as a business information provider, providing news and analysis upon the freight and transportation space. So all those trends that are going on, all those topics that everyone is discussing, we've been that news hub, if you like, for that type of business information. So what that has allowed us to do is we produce our own content, we have our own journalists, freelance journalists, etc., working with us. That's allowed us to generate a very strong and very powerful, if you like, list or database of executives who are associated with our brand because they rely on us for their information. So that's like a weekly email that goes out, a weekly wrap email that goes out with a collation of news. It gets good readership rates, which is to be expected. We look to engage with our community on different platforms. So that's the content platform, which is EFT.com. You can go there, you can see it. We also have a digital platform where we produce research and analysis, surveys, etc., to bring similar information in another way to the community, which also works well for us. I mean, Nick, I think we might be even be talking about that a little bit later. And where we, let's say, the sort of qualitative engagement is the events that we do. So we're global. We run events in Europe. We run events in the States on a number of different topics. So that's where the, if you like, the creme de la creme of our database get to meet, get to network, get to understand technology, share their challenges, and ultimately move our industry forward. So hence, that's the event coming up in Atlanta.
Absolutely. And, you know, the content and the insights that EFT shares on a weekly, if not a daily basis across social media, you know, information is power. We're in the information age right now, and we've got to make decisions faster. And when I see organizations like EFT kind of educating and informing, you know, supply chain leadership, it's more critical than ever before. So I really admire the great content that EFT puts out, and it's been a pleasure for Supply Chain Now Radio to partner from a media standpoint to help further amplify that message. So, Nick, anything else related to EFT that you'd like to add to Asif?
Just kind of furthering his point around the global aspect of it. We've done events in Asia. We do. We have a strong footprint in Europe, and I think the global aspect of our database allows people to come together. Obviously, we know how global this industry is, and the need for partnerships, etc. And I think the fact that we have such a global database where we bring together people from, you know, Australia, Singapore, America, England, Ireland, etc., together, you know, emphasizes that need for partnerships that we really in need of in this industry to move it forward.
Absolutely. And as head of partnerships, Asif, I understand you've been racking up the frequent flyer mileages as you continue to grow more and more partnerships around the world, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're continually, I mean, it's partnerships on a different level from our clients' perspective. They have the technology partnerships and business partnerships, of course, which is reflected through our platform, which is great. I mean, in the partnerships that we need are more around creating greater awareness around the things that we're doing, growing our database, and of course, supporting us in putting these types of events on. So ultimately, when one has that shared goal from everyone's element, everyone's angle, it's a win-win. So it's a constant throw of the dice, you know, to some extent, where you're in there, you're trying to understand one's business challenges and business needs, and hopefully EFT is that platform where that can be expressed.
So to our listeners, we are chatting with Asif Naqvi, head of partnerships at EFT Supply Chain and Logistics Intelligence, as well as his colleague Nick Stilianu, who serves as a project director at the same organization. So Nick, let's bring you back in. All right, so Nick, you know, what two or three supply chain trends or challenges have you and your group been tracking lately?
Yeah, so here at EFT, we do quarterly surveys of our database to really understand, you know, the current trends, the current issues in the market. Obviously, I think it's been spoken a lot in depth, you know, this Amazon effect that's impacting everybody so such a big way. You know, customer expectations for the on-demand instant delivery. I'm sure everyone's got, you know, a delivery horror story. And I've got a couple. I think Asif recently had a delivery horror story that you'd like to share.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think we've all been through it to some extent, right? A lot of us who are in relationships, either girlfriends or partners or husbands or boyfriends for that matter. It wasn't too long ago. It was my wife's birthday, and I think the interesting thing is now I'm on this side of the fence in supply chain. You see things a little bit differently compared to when you're a true customer. But like Nick said earlier, when Amazon creates a template, that sets their expectations. Everything's on demand. You expect to have visibility straight away. But so I, you know, just like you do, as everyone does, one orders a present, one spends more than a reasonable amount of money on it, so one expects a tough on customer service, right? So just like anything, you know, you order something, you get all the email follow-ups, they give you your tracking number, they treat like gold, which is great. So that's a very high expectation. And with that has a predicted, wouldn't say predicted, a stated, you know, delivery time and date, etc. So with that information, what I did was I did the right thing. It had to be a surprise. So I took a half day off work. I stayed at home waiting for this package to arrive. And of course, but that's the black hole bit, right? You know, you're sitting there, you're waiting, and what are you doing? You're checking your phone for updates. You're checking your phone on what you've got, no email, etc. You put your tracking number in on the service app that they give you, and it doesn't tell you much. So in other words, you're a little bit left in the dark. Anyway, the time expires on when it's supposed to deliver, and I'm calling people up, and I'm doing what a good partner should do. And whatever I receive, I'm talking to someone in customer services who can't answer my questions and doesn't know where it is, etc. And then lo and behold, in the evening, I then get an email, which is a very stock blanket, generic email about, oh, sorry, there was a malfunction. There was a problem. We couldn't deliver it to you. Click here to, you know, decide or understand your next delivery time. So I lost a half day of work. My wife was at home. I then had to come up with a whole new idea to get her out of the picture in order to collect this parcel, right? But ultimately what it left was me with a sense of dissatisfaction.
Absolutely. I think visibility is more in demand than ever before. And a lot of organizations are struggling with providing that the level of detail that not just the consumers demand, but also, you know, upstream and downstream supply chain partners. Anything else? What other supply chain trends or challenges are y'all tracking, Asif and Nick?
Yeah, and related to that, we've obviously seen a large uptick in reverse logistics. So we've seen the rise of e-commerce, and with that, a lot of people obviously want to return their items. The ease of purchasing online, you know, the customer experience online with regards to purchasing is so easy, and there needs to be a reciprocal ease of returns. I think that we see some e-commerce companies see up to 40% of their online purchases returned, which is obviously causing a massive, massive problem for them. Whether those returns ultimately end up on landfill or if they're not, you know, if they don't come back into the loop and are resold at that full price. So I think this is causing a massive, massive problem for the e-commerce companies. Recently in the UK, we had a big e-commerce site who really clamped down on serial returners, where they're disabling their account if they see a pattern of repeated offences when it comes to returning large quantities of goods. So definitely think this is a problem that, you know, technology companies are emerging to solve, and it's something that we see as a big opportunity as e-commerce only grows further down the line.
Absolutely. Anything else, Asif and Nick? There's so many. The end-to-end supply chain industry is being disrupted by the minute, and so there's so many different things to kind of keep our finger on the pulse of. But what else have been on your radar here lately?
It's an interesting one, I think. Some of the things we've covered so far, whether it be inventory management, which ultimately reverse logistics to some extent relates to, as well as, let's say, the track and trace, which we talked about earlier. Technology, to some extent, is dictated by, like we talked about, customer demands, but also by governmental demands as well. You've seen a lot of manual processes sort of move to that digital sort of platforms now. When you have governments putting in, like for example, the ELD mandate, perfect example, right? You've got previously a paper process where a driver could fill out their logs, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's all digitized. Now it's all, if you like, electronically tagged, if you like, or electronically logged is probably the right word. Mm. We're seeing a lot of questions being answered around that and how to effectively implement something such as that, because then it has a huge knock-on effect, right? You only can drive for a certain number of hours. There's health and safety issues to consider. But then what's a knock-on effect of something like that to the customer? Will they get their package delivered on time? You know, will Amazon Prime, for argument's sake, live up to the promise that they're stating with that type of package that you as a customer can buy from them? So these are the technology challenges, and it's all around about implementation. You know, you've got to keep your drivers happy at the end of the day. They are the customer service sort of representative of your logistics service provider, right? Keep them happy. They'll want to drive for you. But maybe they're not driving enough. Maybe they're driving way too much for that matter. So those are consistent things that we're always seeing, and it's constantly being discussed. So we're seeing a lot of traction from that point of view. I think also where we're seeing a lot of discussion is around the area of traceability. A lot of, a lot of consumers now, they want to know what they're buying, where does it come from, for argument's sake. There are health and safety issues that one has to consider. For example, we had the Leafy Greens example not too long ago, when there was some type of, whole produce had to go off the market because of, I think, E. coli or something such as that. We're seeing a lot of things such as that. There's a public health scare discussion there. So one needs technology to ensure that sense of traceability. As a result, what are we seeing? We're seeing a lot of discussion around the implementation of smart contracts around using blockchain more effectively. And blockchain is one of those words or one of those technologies which is hugely misunderstood. It's been a lot talked about, it's hugely hyped. And we see, again, a lot of industry challenges or industry confusion, if you like. So there needs to be some further clarity and understanding around this. People want to know where their stuff's coming from. People want to ensure public health is not at risk. Technology providers are ensuring, as a reaction to this, rather than reactive, need to be proactive. Are they, let's say, the perishable goods at the right temperature in freight? Are they working? You know, how often does the door open and close, for that matter? That all has implications upon, for example, the food that you and I would eat. Do we eat it, or does it end up in landfill at the end of the day, which is the big business concern?
So Asif and Nick, let's back up for a second, because you mentioned blockchain, and if y'all could, if you could speak to some of the pundits out there that are viewing blockchain as kind of a flavor of the month and a fad that may go away, you know, in a year or so, speak to that. How do you? I'm of the ilk that it's here to revolutionize supply chain and it's here for the duration, and it's going to disrupt things in a very positive way to offer some of the visibility and the transparency and the chain of custody intel that we all, as consumers and as supply chain partners, we're all are craving more and more. Speak to that. How can you assure folks blockchain is not here today and gone tomorrow?
I think it's a very interesting one. I think obviously we've tracked this technology a lot recently. I think around 12 months ago, 18 months ago, there was so much hype when it came to this technology. It was seen as maybe a panacea that this industry really needed. And I think coming into 2019, there seems to be maybe, you know, a trough of disillusionment when it comes to this technology. And I think there seems to be an understanding that maybe the promises they had 18 months ago maybe may not be fulfilled, you know, in a short time frame as it was promised maybe 18 months ago. I think the challenge is really around traditional competitors partnering when it comes to blockchain technology is really a barrier that needs to be overcome in order to allow this technology to proliferate and really achieve the big ambitions that it had 18 months ago. I think from our perspective, we've seen a lot of interest around blockchain with regards to the food safety aspect of it. I think that's kind of where it's got a ready-made application, and we've seen a lot of interest in that. And I think that will be the first areas where you see, you know, tangible ROI on blockchain implementation. And I think slowly other industry under industry verticals will see the potential of it, or there might not be any potential for this technology in those particular industry verticals. I definitely think that we'll get to a point where either the technology works in certain use cases, or it has this massive impact on the industry. I think probably more likely that it has certain use cases, and we'll see big ROI in certain areas like pharma or food safety. And I think that's where you'll see the short-term gains of this technology.
Yep. Interesting perspective. Asif, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I suppose really just to echo Nick's point, I mean, when you get something like blockchain, we're in the business information industry, so blockchain was this huge horizontal revolution that was just going to redefine everything, if you like. You know, you see a lot of companies putting blockchain in their marketing and their valuations going through the roof. You know, with a cynical mind, you know it's nonsense to some extent. It all boils down to the application of blockchain. You know, if it's not right for a certain industry. You know, for example, you see logical application in pharma. You see logical application in consumer goods. But it doesn't mean it's something or a technology which is going to work well horizontally. And I think that's where we are right now, just to echo Nick's point. We're sort of filtering out, to some extent, the noise, and we're getting to the business.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd echo that business point. I think definitely it needs to be, you know, this is a very, very, very cool technology, but I definitely think the first question that needs to be asked is, can we have tangible ROI from this technology? And if so, we can apply the technology rather than it being a cool technology that you maybe will shoehorn into an application that doesn't suit.
Practical application, not implementing technology for the sake of technology. I'm a kindred spirit in what you are sharing. So kind of moving on from blockchain to some other things that y'all might be tracking here lately. What else has caught your attention from the across the end-to-end supply chain world? Go ahead.
No, that was a great question. I was just going to – sorry, one second.
In terms of looking further down the line, I think we've got our eyes on 5G. Obviously, the potential for the technology is huge in terms of connectivity. I think we've seen a lot of issues around, you know, in trucking where devices are primarily still using 3G, and the clock is ticking on 3G. I think a lot of providers are announcing that, you know, it's the end for 3G very soon in the next 2 to 3 years. And I think in terms of the revolution that we'll see from 5G, there's a lot of capabilities and a lot of opportunities that I think Asif could speak to very well, given his background in automotive.
I think it's a good point. 5G is one of those, if you like, discussions that will enable technology, and it will enable broader services. As I think it's probably fair to say a lot of the shippers will want to build relationships with their consumers, a direct relationship with their consumers. There's a need for, you know, sticky experiences. And I think 5G, because of its bandwidth, rather than, let's say, the 3G age, which we're currently in, which is, you know, from a track and trace perspective, you know where stuff is now and again, not consistently in real time. We're moving into that real time phase because of 5G, and that will enable future broader services that will entice. And if the retailers and manufacturers are doing their job properly, their aim is to entice the consumers so they have their data to some extent, or they understand the purchasing trends of their consumers, which is, as we know, in the information age, information is power. So that's where we typically see 5G coming in, you know, providing real-time tracking, providing real-time visibility from Sydney, Australia, all the way to New York, for argument's sake.
Fantastic. So before we move on into sharing an overview of the upcoming 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, is there anything else from a supply chain trend standpoint that y'all like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to hear your perspective on some of the talent issues that we've seen. Obviously, this industry, you know, with the driver shortage, we've spoken to companies where they have massive turnover in their organizations, whether that's in their warehouse. How do they deal with these challenges? How do we make this industry that is going through such a revolution more enticing to this millennial generation, this digitally native generation that will only enable more technological innovation? So it'd be really interesting to hear your perspective on the methods that these logistics service providers or these retailer manufacturers could implement in order to really entice this new age of talent.
Yeah, so great question, Nick, and I appreciate that. So as we all know, TalentStream is one of our sponsors here at Supply Chain Now Radio, and TalentStream specializes in helping organizations find proven supply chain talent. If I were answering that question in a very succinct manner, I would say, number one, we've got to recruit not like it's 1987, but like it's 2019. And what I mean by that is we've got to develop modern day collaborative partnerships with resources for talent. We can't expect our candidates to come out and find us. We've got to be proactive in really establishing meaningful strategic alliances that will allow our hiring managers to rub elbows with the type of talent that they're looking to acquire and onboard. I think secondly, we've got to make sure that the jobs and the job descriptions and the opportunities that are in these in supply chain positions, we modernize those as well. You know, gone are the days where folks are going to sign up to be in one level for 30 years and then retire and gain all those benefits. You know, folks, especially folks that are graduating out of these top supply chain programs these days, they want to see upward mobility. They want to be involved in meaningful work and understand how it impacts the big picture. They want to be able to do different things and have a number of different, you know, kind of have their fingers and toes in different aspects of the supply chain operation. So they're not necessarily doing the same thing day in and day out. So I think those are some of the things when it comes to modernizing our approach that can be helpful. I think secondly, and not the talent stream, but you know, in this day and age when they're, depending on the study you're looking at, there can be as few as one qualified candidate per 10 open positions across supply chain. We all know that a lot of folks are retiring out of supply chain and taking that tribal knowledge and that know-how, that those supply chain chops of serving the customer. You know, they're taking that out of the organization. And while we're seeing here in the States, there's about 500 programs coast to coast that offer some sort of either supply chain management degree or diploma or, you know, two-year program, what have you. We're seeing an uptick in interest, but still the folks exiting the industry, number one, and number two, the increasing, ever-increasing demand of true supply chain know-how is still outpacing that inbound supply. So I think one of the things in this talent market we're in is you've got to get better and better at your passive candidate strategy. So whether it's your internal teams that hopefully you've built to go after current candidates that are currently working, which that's a tall hill to climb, or if you're partnering with an outside provider that really specializes in supply chain that knows how to reach these passive candidates. Whatever it is, but making sure your talent acquisition strategy as a supply chain employer, making sure there's a successful passive candidate engagement component to that. That's a critical aspect of companies that are really doubling down and onboarding talent in a very meaningful way, a very deliberate way. So two things there: modernizing your approach, not treating it like it's 1987, but like it's 2019. And number two, making sure that regardless how you go to market to acquire the talent you need, making sure that it's really, I hate to say focused, but making sure there's a very strong and healthy and successful component at engaging the passive candidates that are out there in the marketplace.
I think that's a really, really good point. Talent, acquiring talent, the talent shortfall, if you want to call it that, is having a huge impact upon our market, whether it be from for example, warehouse, driver, or the technological innovation perspective as well. I think what could also help drive interest into the supply chain space, we're starting to see some of it right now, is some of the, you know, with the announcements we're seeing in our market, you're seeing some, if you like, the, you know, mainstream consumer players, you know, that have, that everyone has exposure to. And they're generally considered to be quite cool or quite interesting. If you take, like, say, an Uber, which is a classic example, right? To some extent here in the UK, the word taxi has been replaced by Uber. I'm going to get an Uber. That shows you how that experience has transcended and it's become a part of our lifestyle and our expectations, especially for the millennial mindset, right? But when Uber, as we've seen, move into freight management and then provide a very similar, if you like, you know, surface level experience with Uber Freight, that should increase their adoption rates and in their market penetration when it comes to digital freight management. So those types of brands, I think, will have a big say in the destiny when it comes to employment opportunities or business opportunities in that space. I think it was only last week or a week and a half ago, everyone was raving about Amazon's announcement into the DFM space. And again, well, what are they bringing? They're bringing a very similar consumer UI that everyone has experience with. All right? Everyone has experience with Amazon. Everyone has bought at least something from Amazon. But if you apply that to a very specific business service like the digital freight management, opportunity, again, you've got that sense of familiarity. So not only have you got the UI experience that you're used to, you've also got the business opportunity of, let's say, 30% below market rate, for argument's sake. If those two match up to some extent, that creates a degree of opportunity. It also creates a degree of fear, you know, in order to, let's say, match that opportunity from a competitive point of view. So I think the types of players moving in, if some of them have made fantastic reputations in other markets and they move into this market, they are literally, you know, it's from a business point of view, buying market share due to previous experience, due to previous reputation. Argument always was if in the technology markets, if Apple goes after another mass market, they will literally own it. That's the foregone conclusion. To some extent, we know that's not entirely true, right? But that's one leads to that understanding because of experience in previous markets. Again, what that will do when you have someone cool like Uber or Amazon in the supply chain space, because they're cool brands, that will motivate people to want to work for them. All right.
Yeah. So great point.
It's a gain. In my point of view, I think it's more about the cool guys coming in will lead to a cool outcome.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Asif, you mentioned the Uber and taxi kind of interchange that we're seeing, you know, a couple decades ago or maybe 30 or 40 years ago, they had a similar shift where, you know, tissue was replaced by Kleenex, at least here in the States. So, you know, when you needed something to wipe your tears or blow your nose, it was you always asking for a Kleenex. And it's really interesting to see how consumers make this shift. Here in the southern U.S., you know, when you ask for a soda or a pop in other parts of the country, it's all about a Coke. So it's really interesting to see how these consumers wrap their heads around certain brands and all of a sudden they become the name of that item, right?
In this case, it was the name of the experience. So definitely, I think our market is going to go through, again, when it comes to DFM, we've seen huge number of companies get into this space. Some of them are known, some of them, you know, are not so well known, but everyone's fighting over the same piece of business to some extent. And there's only so much unique selling points that one can create. So I think it's probably fair to say, like we've seen out of the market, I think one can predict a degree of consolidation in this space. And I think that's that might be coming sooner as opposed to later. When you have the disruptor of Amazon and Uber Freight coming in, you know, it could lead to, right, there's not enough business for everyone. We've got to think about how we're going to work together.
Absolutely. Yeah, the progressive collaboration that's taking place in the modern day supply chain is really neat to see. All right.
Definitely.
So, really appreciate y'all sharing some of your perspective around the supply chain trends and challenges and topics that y'all have been tracking lately. And we're going to shift over and talk about the upcoming 3PL and Supply Chain Summit. Let's talk about, can you give us an overview of the upcoming 3PL and Supply Chain Summit that's going to be taking place here in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th?
Yes, yeah, so this is our flagship show. It's EFT's biggest event of the year, and it brings together the three pillars of our community. So that first aspect of that is the logistics service providers, so the likes of DHL, UPS, Forward, Uber Freight, Becker Logistics, Expedited, etc. Then another aspect of the community that's coming together are the retail manufacturers, the likes of Nike, Patagonia, Walmart, Johnson & Johnson. And then an increasingly growing part of our database is the technology community. So the likes of JDA, Noodle AI, Emerge, companies that are helping with this wave of digitalization that we see in the industry at the moment. So we're on track to have between 800 and 1,000 senior supply chain executives gather in Atlanta in June for this event to, you know, really come together and solve some of these challenges that the industry is facing on a day-to-day basis.
Dynamic event. We're really looking forward. This will be my first EFT event, and I'm fortunate, I believe, to let my first one be the flagship event right here in Atlanta Supply Chain City, so we're excited about it. Asif, if you had to give our listeners, our listeners probably can remember, hopefully, the David Letterman show, the late night show where he regularly offered a top five list. So if you had to give our listeners a top five list of reasons to attend the 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, what would those be?
That's a really, really good question. I think, how can I look at it, right? I think a little bit like we talked about earlier, there's a need, ultimately, a need for, and it's again, it draws upon the experience I've seen before in another industry of automotive. When you have that level of technology, you have that level of disruption, you have that level of, if you like, technical confusion, but also business confusion. In order for this to meet the customer demand, ultimately Amazon have come in, right? And they've set a template that everyone's trying to play catch up to, right? So on the technology side, there's a need for greater partnership, something which Nick emphasized earlier. Our market, funnily enough, is, I think it might be fair to say, is massively fragmented. Somebody's good at doing one thing. Somebody's good at doing something else. You could be great at robotics. You could be great at, let's say, real estate identification, et cetera, et cetera. There will be a need for all of this to some extent come together to create more of a holistic experience. So things are then, let's say, developed quicker, sooner, in order to meet that nagging customer demand, ultimately at the end of the day. So I think one of the, you know, big things we're already starting to see this to some extent. I mean, DHL, you know, they're utilizing, you know, the vendors out there like Locus Robotics, XPO are doing something similar. So you're starting to see that top end of our value chain, which is probably the best way to describe it. It's a value chain at the end of the day. Conform to those norms and values in order to progress that type of business, to make these things happen sooner and quicker. So partnerships, a little bit like my job title, partnerships is, for me, is absolutely paramount. Absolutely paramount. I would probably say another one would be, I mean, it goes into the DNA of what we're all about. I mean, iFortransportEFT.com, what makes us special and what makes us unique is the relationships we have in the market. Myself, Nick, etc., have worked very, very hard cultivating senior executive relationships. So working with EFT and or having the on-site experiences, you get to see get to meet these strategic guys. So the guys at the top end, and that makes it a little bit different. So guys with budget, guys who are trying to understand our market space, and they've got to go back to their board and give them a big pitch about this is what we've got to do on our business strategy. So it's those types of executives that that matter to us, that make up a big part of our attendance and ultimately our database. So this is very much a customer event. So, for example, the logistics service providers, they get to meet their customers at this show. So whether that be like, I mean, Nick mentioned some earlier, like Unite, your Patagonias, your Walmarts of the world, this is what makes EFT quite unique. So we bring the logistics customer, our customer, but we also bring their customer there too. So you will see a true representation of the value chain stroke supply chain, if you want to call it that. That's probably a couple of, Nick, have you got any others on your side?
That is compelling. Nick, what else could you add to that?
Yeah, I'd definitely say that one of the key aspects of it is also the networking aspect that can't be undervalued. We have a number of different dedicated networking sessions set up to meet, you know, that those goals that Asif mentioned earlier. We have Uber Freight have an invite-only off-site drinks reception. We have a number of other drinks receptions throughout the 2.5-day event. So it's very much around, you know, the building of the partnerships that we've emphasized a lot in this conversation. I think as well as that, I'd really like to emphasize that the workshops we have at the event, we have four interactive workshops on the pre-day on June 10th that are slightly longer form than the other sessions that we have. And they'll go far more into depth on a lot of these issues. So as an example, we have DHL, Manjeet Singh, Research Director, and John Cox, Director of Solutions Design, talking about how they're optimizing warehousing and transportation using advanced analytics. So it's obviously, I think, a platform in which, you know, you can come to the event to really have a blueprint to solve some of your day-to-day technology challenges.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sold.
I'd just like to be good. Well, you can have a great time when you're there. I think that's and that's a guarantee. I think what makes it different, you get a lot of events out there, and you know, they all look the same. They all sound the same to some extent, which is to be expected. There's only so many things that one can do, right? What makes this, I think, quite different is it's not about, like I mentioned earlier, saying the same thing, et cetera, et cetera. It's trying to find what are the industry pain points among a specific job title. So we're agnostic. We're not vertical specific at this given moment in time, right? So when you go to the show, you meet a supply chain executive. And that supply chain executive could come from pharma. It could come from automotive. It could come from aerospace. It could come from, you know, a big consumer goods manufacturer. They all have shared concerns run very, very similar topics. And it's about speaking that common language, ultimately, that represents their interest. I mean, this is a good way to understand it. This is an umbrella event. It's a catch-all show. So by speaking that common language, we're hitting into the major drivers behind people's issues rather than their specific vertical associated concerns, right? It's what are the supply chain bottlenecks? What are the supply chain challenges? What brings them all together, I think it's probably fair to say, is their customer. Amazon has created such an expectation. What Uber has done in mobility, what Tesla has done in automotive, Amazon has done in the supply chain space. And again, we're going to see a very similar, you know, example rolled out in other markets when it comes to it. Our market, it's hugely hyped. A lot of financial institutions, a lot of banks, the LSPs themselves, the logistics service providers are inadvertently fueling, to some extent, the hype associated with it. And ultimately, what everybody wants is for that hype to be realized. You know, we don't want it to be like a dot-com thing and then, oh, realize we can't do this type of thing. So specific job titles are being created, divisions are being opened. There's a huge recruitment drive right now for that digital native executive amongst every element within our market right now. So hopefully those proactive, if you like, decisions will lead to market success. And that will be represented at the show.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so shifting gears a little bit here as we kind of start to wind down, and we'll stay tuned to our listeners. We're going to give you all a couple of URLs where you can learn more information about the event. But Asif, what's next on the EFT docket in terms of events?
Again, that's a very, very good question. We're more about quality than quantity. We like to run just a number of shows. I think we've got Atlanta coming up, which is great, which is how we refer to it. This event is geo-cloned into Europe. So we have these 3PL supply chain summit in Brussels, and that will be in October 14th and 16th. And again, it's very, very similar in the sense of the common language that one speaks and the business concerns in question. So you're looking around about 450 senior executives, supply chain guys, the LSPs, and of course the ever-growing technology solution providers. It differs slightly from Atlanta, meaning that this is there are four core themes associated with this show. You know, but the aim is we bring in the retailers and manufacturers and those LSPs I mentioned earlier. Whether we're talking about visibility, whether we're talking about partnerships, ultimately this will lead to that sense of growth that we see in the US will also be reciprocated here in Europe.
Mm. Fantastic. So that's Brussels and that's October. And what were those dates again, Asif?
Dates are 14th to the 16th in Brussels.
Okay, fantastic. And Nick, how can our listeners learn more about both the summit coming up here in Atlanta and EFT, the organization?
Yeah, so I think we should encourage your listeners to check us out on LinkedIn. We're very active on LinkedIn. We also have, obviously, our website, EFT.com, where we're posting, you know, regular news articles, regular white papers, regular podcasts that we're doing. And in terms of the event, for more information on the Atlanta event, I'd say the best place to check out would be 3plsummit.com. So that would give you the lowdown on the event, the reasons to attend, some of the key speakers, the key topics, things of that nature.
Fantastic. Well, Asif and Nick, thanks so much for joining us. A great conversation, great opportunity. If you're in supply chain, especially if you're an executive in the end-to-end supply chain, join us in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th, 2019. And you will not regret the decision. So let's wrap up on a couple of final announcements before we conclude today's podcast. This Friday, we're going to be hosting a Proven Techniques for Continuous Improvement 2-hour, kind of almost like a lunch and learn and a breakfast. Bo Groover with the Effective Syndicate is going to be at Doosan in North Atlanta, where they make forklifts, one of the things Doosan does. After a couple hours of conversation and best practice sharing around continuous improvement practices, we're going to tour Doosan, their site, at this Georgia Manufacturing Alliance event. To learn more, you can go to GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. Of course, our sponsors at Apex Atlanta are co-sponsors of this event, and it's going to be a very practical, straightforward, and also a great networking event, May 10th, this Friday. If you're interested, we've been talking, obviously, we love supply chain. We talk supply chain all the time. If you're interested in obtaining really a world-renowned supply chain management credential, you ought to consider gaining your APIX certification. So here in Atlanta, our classes are at the Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. And our next two boot camps focused in on the CSCP credential and the CLTD credential is taking place the week of June 24th. So we have 2.5 days dedicated to CSCP and prepping those attendees, and 2.5 days, the latter half of the week, focusing on the CLTD. And you can learn more at sclgatech.edu. Finally, what we've been talking about for this entire session is the EFT 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, which, is coming to Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. We've got a home run lineup of speakers. Asif and Nick both shared some of the speakers, some of the content, some of the workshops, some of the reasons to come out. We are going to be broadcasting live there thanks to our friends at Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. As Nick mentioned, you can learn more about the event at 3plsummit.com. And of course, you can check out EFT.com to learn more about all the really neat things that EFT does for folks across the end-to-end supply chain. If you can't find what you're looking for, feel free to shoot us a note to Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com, and we can guarantee we'll get you the information you're looking for. So I want to thank Asif Naqvi, Head of Partnerships at EFT Supply Chain and Logistics Intelligence, for joining us, along with our friend and colleague Nick Stilianu, who is the Project Director at EFT, their Supply Chain Logistics Intelligence Division. Thank you both for joining us, Asif and Nick.
Thank you.
You bet. I hope y'all have a wonderful week in London. We look forward to reconnecting with you both again in person here in June. Be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe. You don't want to miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we hope to see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio, and we hope to see you in Atlanta here in June at the EFT 3PL and Supply Chain Summit. Thanks, everybody.